Glad to see you. Almost as much as I'm glad to see that sunshine outside. No, I'm more glad to see you than I am the sunshine, but I'm also glad to see the sunshine. It's good to be here today, and we continue on in our class. We don't have, I don't know how many more weeks we got, but just a few. I mean, you could go on forever, but I'm not going to do that. Got to turn some time over to Andrew here in another week or so he can handle the tougher part of this subject of marriage, and that is the subject of divorce and remarriage. And a lot of controversy in that subject through the years among some very sincere brethren, so he's going to have a tough job. And we does that sound like you're not quite ready yet to start your part? I hope, whatever the case, you'll be ready when it's time, I'm sure. Let's see. Brother Lee Dorn, can you direct us in prayer as we start, please? Thank you, Lee. Well, let's pick right back up. We are looking at some of the problems that most of us face when we are in marriage, when we're married. And, of course, there are typical challenges that come up that are more common than others, and that's what we're basically talking about. We've covered a few already. The last one we covered was anger and resolving conflict. Sometimes electricity can be so slow, you know? Technician. Anyway, we dealt with the subject of anger and resolving conflict, and a number of passages we looked at there, and it's something that when we've done all we can, when we've worked on the principles of God all we can, if we still have some troubles that we can't get through, that's the time you want to go seek some counsel. Pick out somebody who you believe has got experience in marriage, and go and talk to them. Very likely, 99%, they've got the wisdom to help you. They've probably gone through some of the challenges that you're having difficulty with. And so, let's see if this is where, oh, let's see. We're down to here. Okay. Understanding and resolving conflict. We won't go through this list again. Once we've been there, okay, it's working. Get spiritual counsel when you need it. And there's just so much in that to understand that we're family for a reason, right? We have our families, our physical families, for a reason, because doing things on your own by yourself isn't the right way to do it. So we have spiritual families for a reason, for a lot of reasons. One of them can be to help us to be able to live in life in a way that's going to be successful. And whether that's being married or having children or serving the Lord according to our abilities, we're here for each other, to help each other out. Sometimes it's just encouragement. Sometimes it's wisdom. Sometimes it's correction if we fall into sin. This is a loving family that God wants us to participate in and to benefit from. Okay, so then we're down to this subject, money. You know, you probably know, I'm sure you do, money's not the issue when we're talking about the problems that we have with money. Money is something you got to have. I mean, it's not that money in itself is bad or good. Well, actually, money is good, but because, I mean, it's something you need. There's nobody here that can get along without it. You've got to have it to get by. You got to have it. I mean, try to buy food without it, right? So money is an essential. In our marriages, we're going to see that, yeah, we got to have it. We got to have it to afford a place to live. If we want to have electricity in that place, we got to have it to pay that bill. Most of us have electricity. Raise your hand if you don't have electricity. What's the only way you can have electricity? Is if you pay for it. Got to have money to do that. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, and even if you don't have enough money to have a place to live, guess what? You're going to depend upon somebody else's money to help you out until you get on your feet. So money is a requirement, and money is not the issue. The issue is our attitude toward money. And there's a very, very clear picture that the Bible points out that our Lord gives us on how we need to look at money. And it's not an easy position to have. It's not an easy attitude to have. It's a very difficult one. So the first problem that we come up to in our lives and in our marriages is the attitudes that we have toward money are often very unchristlike, very unspiritual. So we'll look at some of that for a little bit. And then we're going to see that the other problem we have is managing money. See, even if we have the right attitude about money on some of the principles of looking at where we put it in the scheme of things like the kingdom of God and our relationship with people, and we've got money at the right context, sometimes we just don't manage it well at all. And because of some of the mistakes we make, we lose our money. And we need it to get by. So those are the two things we'll look at. I mean, you could have a whole series on financial things in the Bible. There's a whole lot of passages that talk about things, and we're not going to take all that much time. We're going to look at a couple of the key issues that come up when we want to deal with the trouble and the improper attitudes and the difficulty that we have in managing the money that God gives us to be able to live. Here's a passage I want to start with. This is one that gives us some insight, and I appreciate this. This is a proverb, not of Solomon, but of Augur. If you look over here in Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9, and what he says is really interesting. Helps us to kind of launch off in our looking at the subject of money. He says here, two things I ask of you, asking of God. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. That's the first one. We're not going to be looking at that, but you can see how that would be important. Don't make me someone that's involved in deception and lying. Keep me from that. Give me an honest heart. But here's the second one we want to look at. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. With the food that is my portion, is what he's saying. That's what I would like, Lord. Don't get me so I'm poor, so I can't afford what I need. Don't give me too much in here. He says that I may not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. So it's interesting how this proverb writer says these things. He says, you know, don't give me too much, because then I'm going to have the temptation, as many of us do, to depend upon our money and to think more of that than our relationship with God. Big temptation if we have more than we need. Okay, so he said, I don't want to have that. But then I don't want to be somebody who doesn't have anything, and then I'm going to be in a position of where I might, like Job and Job's friends, when he was destitute, said, just curse God and die. I don't want to be like that either, because there's temptations when you don't have much at all and you have less than is needful to accuse God that this is that I'm in this state and it's your fault. So this is just interesting how he says this. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. And the reason is, as we're saying here, is it's difficult. It's difficult to be poor. Look at over here in Luke 16, verse 19. Now raise your hand if you want to be this guy. Luke 16, verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Okay, raise your hand. You want to be like Lazarus? Let me know if you'd like his spot. Any takers? No. That's what a hard life. And Job, in a similar way, you know, he was covered with those boils, destitute, didn't have it, lost everything. Very difficult to have that kind of circumstance in your life. But there's an answer to it. There's a way through it. But just understand, it's hard to be abjectly poor. It's difficult. Poverty is difficult. But riches are also difficult. And you look over here at Matthew 19, verse 23 through 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, that's a point of emphasis, I'm telling you this is something you want to listen to. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now here's what the Lord says. Riches, they're difficult. There's temptation that come when you have more than you need or a lot more than you need. And if you have a lot more than you need, it's going to be difficult for you to put priorities the way they should be. Impossible? No. But difficult. Riches are difficult. I mean, handling money the right way, the way we should, is difficult. And as we look at this, what's the solution to the problem of money that we have? We don't want to have, if we're poor with some challenges there, if we're rich, there's challenges. If we have just the right amount, we still have challenges. Well, there's a secret of the attitude that we should have about money. There's three things, just three of them. When we go through these, I don't want you to ever forget them. It's going to be, if you will understand these things and really buy into what the Lord says, you will be successful in life and in your marriage. Money will never be an issue, whether you don't have any of it or whether you have a lot of it. Not going to be an issue. So these three things that we'll look at is really, I think, the main points that the Lord wants us to have when we're dealing with financial things and about money and riches or the lack of it. Dave.
Good thing I ever did. It's between the worry about losing it to thieves or whatever.
Right.
The worst time of their life.
Riches can come with a lot of challenges. It really can. It can come to challenges to your spiritual life. We read that passage from the Lord on this one right here. But it can also be a challenge to your family. It can be a challenge to a lot of things. Now, does that mean riches are bad? No. And we're going to see as we go through this that no, they're not. But you've got to be prepared to be rich, or you've got to be prepared to be poor. You don't know what you're going to be. You're sitting here right now. You are what you are now. But tomorrow is a different day. Everything can change. Lauren.
Tomorrow, like
that existed, but I can understand why. Interesting. And one of the challenges that can come with money and inheritance is that it's one of the high things that happens that breaks up families, brothers and sisters and people who are in a family, when the inheritance comes down and it's not. But not if you've got the right attitude that God wants us to have. I heard somebody sarcastic. Okay. Nothing new there. Nothing new there.
They want money from
me too, okay.
From the advisors.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, so let's get started here, unless we got some more comments here. We want to look at the three things that are going to help you. It's a secret. It's the secret that so many people don't know. Of course, it's right in the Bible, so it's not a secret from you. But let's just begin look at this. First one is contentment. Boy, if I had a lot of money, I'd be content. No, that's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Contentment, wherever you are, whenever you're there. Whether you've got a lot, or you've got what you got now, or you got nothing. Contentment is the first thing in every circumstance, is what the Lord teaches us to be. That you are satisfied with what you have at any time. This is the way Paul was. He gives us a perfect example. He went through some really good times. He went through some really bad times. And he says over here in Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. And here he's talking about in the context of his troubles and trials. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I've learned that. He says here, I know how to be abased. I know how to be low. I know also how to abound. In everything and in all things, I have learned the secret. It's a secret because most people don't know how to do it. And until you learn the secret that only God gives us through inspiration, this particular verse by Paul, then you're just not going to be able to handle money like you should. Paul learned the secret. The secret both to be filled and to be hungry. What? How can you? He learned how to do it. And, of course, we know all the trouble that he went through and all the trials. I mean, hunger would be small compared to some of the things he went through, right? The beatings and so on. And so he learned by experience, trusting in God. God delivered him according to his power and according to his love. He learned how to be poor. He wasn't poor always. There were times he was. But he learned the secret. To be filled or to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. Of course, that's the main point, is that he depended upon God, no matter what his circumstances, that God would take care of him. And so, he was content. That don't mean he liked being beaten. He didn't like being shipwrecked. He didn't like not having anything because the brethren in that, or the people in that particular place, didn't have any money to give him when he preached, or wouldn't give it to him when he did, and he didn't have something for. He didn't like that, but he was content. I'm okay with what I've got. God's right here. He's gonna help me when he chooses to help me. He's not gonna leave me alone. He's not gonna desert me. Andrew. Yes. And we're just bombarded with that kind of thing around us. And so many people grow up without a spiritual foundation, exposed to that. And even those of us that have a spiritual foundation, we buy into it subconsciously. Yeah, I'll be happier if I had. Fact of the matter is, you wouldn't be that much happier. But the fact of the matter is, the point is that we're making, is that what God is making, the Lord and Paul through this is, be content with what you've got. And then guess what? You'll be, hey, who wants to be happy all the time? I'm not saying challenges aren't going to be there, but you'll be content all the time. And that's what, I much rather have that than the next thing that might come along that would briefly make me feel like, ooh, yep, whoopee, new car. You know, shine that thing, you know, just, look at that. It just shines like, woo. Yeah, that goes away. Pretty soon you don't even want. And just a second here. Look and see how important this is in our families, for both the husband and the wife to say, you know, and you, when you, usually when you start out, you don't start out with a lot, right? And then from there, some people even go down. But, you know, it's like, because they've taken on too much, right? That's typically what happens, you know. You get married, you just got enough to scrape by, and then you move out in your own house. I mean, you got your own bills, and how many young people are prepared for that? And so it gets tough. It gets difficult. And people start, and so, guys usually don't worry about this. They don't think about it probably enough because their responsibility is to provide, you know, a secure family environment. And ladies often think about it too much because they're worried about what's going to happen. What's going to happen next week? What are we going to have? And the deal is, be content. You're not going to die. You don't have what you need maybe to pay the rent. You're not going to die. You think you're going to die? You think someone's going to leave you in a ditch and you're going to die, right? Come on. Mom and dad are there. Or if you're spiritual, the brothers and sisters are there. You're not going to, you know, might be embarrassed a little bit to have to ask for something. But again, contentment is what we're supposed to have. Paul learned how to be content. He trusted in God. Andrew, did you have a follow-up? Or that? Okay, good point. That'll lead into our next subject here in a minute. But if the grass is green or all crabgrass, be content with what you got. And we'll see what comes next. But contentment is the secret. Paul even calls it a secret. Learn this secret. Be content. If you're not content, figure out why you're not and change that. It's not about your circumstances. Again, when we get to the next point, we'll see that you've got a lot to do that you can do to improve your circumstances. But the thing is, it may be beyond your control. Dan.
Yeah. But we think we do.
Amen. And in these verses we're looking at, this isn't the last time we'll see this concept, all things through him that strengthens me. We're depending on God to take care of us. See, that goes back to that first verse from Augur. He says, if I have a lot, then I won't praise God. I'll think whatever the situation is. I mean, it's like, you might even be in a destitute situation for the very purpose, if that happens to be your lot right now. So you will learn something that you didn't learn before. That's depend on God. Better to learn the lesson so you don't have to go through that particular lesson, maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. If you go through that, then you should depend on God. Mike.
Were you going to mention 1 Timothy 6?
Yes, we will. Hold off on that for a bit. That fits in here somewhere, if you want. If you can, hold off on that. Thanks for asking, because we are going to go there. Don.
What did you say, verse
76a? Are you going to read that one, too? You can read it if you want to. That's fine. We'll probably hold off on talking about it. We got it down here. Let's see. Where are we?
I have a question.
It's coming up. Oh, well, actually, that's our next verse. Let's look at it. You guys are prophets. I'm not sure if this is the part we're looking at, but we got other parts to look at. So 1 Timothy 6 later on. But here Paul says, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. It's easier to be content when you've got food and covering. Paul had said that even if you're abased, you can still... I think you can. I think you can. I think that's what Paul said back there, is that you still can be content. Now, it's going to be more abject. It's going to be more severe. One thing that we got to realize in this country that we just won't buy into is that there's times that we have to suffer. With suffering. And yet, if you look in the Bible, you see how many people had to go through suffering. And a lot of it was so that they would learn how to depend on God. They went through physical suffering. They went through financial suffering. They went through losing their family suffering. And we don't want it, but it's going to come our way. And so if we're in an abject situation, Paul, even in that situation, learned how, it said back there, to both be filled and to be hungry. See, he learned how to be content when he was hungry. So I don't think these two verses oppose themselves. I think this is a more unusual, severe situation. Even then you can be content because you're depending on God. I mean, it's hard to smile when your stomach's grumbling because you haven't eaten for a few days, which I have only not eaten for a few days when it was on purpose, you know, and never had a situation where I couldn't eat if I didn't want to, but fasting or something, you wouldn't eat. And that's even difficult, even though maybe, I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's less difficult when I knew I had something there I could eat if I really wanted to. So let's look a bit further through this. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich. The contrast here is actually in this particular situation, not abject poverty and need, but rather if you've got what you need to fill your stomach and cover you so you're warm, that would include a roof. If you got that, don't think about anything else. Don't really think about anything. If you're abject to where you're hungry, it's okay to think about food and how to get it, okay? But if you've got what you need, food and covering, be happy and content with that. For those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and a many foolish and harmful desires, destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Now, let me say, first of all, this doesn't say that riches is a sin or is wrong. It's not. It's the person who falls into who wants to get rich. Now, wait a minute. What are you saying? I mean, it's okay to be rich, but you can't want to be rich? Exactly. It's okay to have a lot of money. Sometimes God's going to make sure you have a lot of money. He's got purposes for you. But if you don't have a lot of money, you shouldn't want it. Don't want it. The next point we'll get to, this is about contentment. The next point we'll get to might get you to a place where you do have a lot of money, but that's not what you should want. Does that sound like ridiculous? I mean, you got to buy into this. You got to be happy and satisfied and not want anything more if you've got food and covering. Okay, that's something we got. When we get to that point where we can really say, okay, I'm not thinking about the next bigger house or the better car or, oh man, if I could just win a lottery and have all this money, wouldn't that be just great? No, it wouldn't be. You'd be probably worse off. You have more challenges. Wouldn't it be just great if we had all, you know, had so much so we wouldn't have to think about, you know, not running out of money in 6 months or a year? No, it wouldn't be. Then you wouldn't depend on God so much. Remember, that's what Augier said. I wouldn't have to depend on God as much as if I had week to week, you know, the things that I needed. So we'll see more about this, is that the problem is we got to get out. And, of course, the whole world is after that. Everybody is. And all of us have been in that situation before, probably, where we thought, oh, yeah, well, I remember get-rich schemes, and I'm sorry I'm going to mention it. Amway, the only reason I got into Amway for a few months, that's how long it lasted, was because, man. Now, if you're in Amway, I apologize. It's not wrong in and of itself, but the attitudes that are conveyed when you're trying to get into it aren't the kind of attitude you want to have. So, okay, I have some minds. Mike.
Well, I was just going to say two verses, verse 6 and 7.
Okay.
Where Paul writes, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Mm-hmm. For we brought nothing into the world, and it's in the context of that. If we're pursuing godliness, and, you know, there obviously.
And here's something you mentioned there that's so important. God. And we'll get to a verse that says that. You can only serve one. It's only 24 hours in a day. Now, you've got to go after money a particular amount, and that's going to be our next point. But don't make that what you really care about. It's not worth it. It's all going to get burned up. Everything you've got, all the money is going to be burned up. All the things you ever bought with money is going to get burned up. But the things that we have with God aren't. Don't pursue that. Richard. Either one, actually, is a trial. That's the way Augier said it, is not having enough is a trial. Having too much is a trial, or having a lot. And so, yeah, it's a trial. We're all here. If we have a little, that's your trial for now. If you have a lot, that's your trial for now. And so get through it in the way that God wants you to. Okay, Joe?
Sharing your blessings.
Yes, and we're going to hold on to that main point here for a little bit longer. But you're tying the two together, which is good. But contentment is kind of what we're talking about now. We'll get to the aspect of sharing in just a bit. So, Laura had a point? No? Trish had a point. Or life is that if that's the first thing in our mind is the physical thing, then we're likely not going to be following the right path. If we have everything, it's going to come from a loving heart, but also, and as far as you're talking about money, if you're going to, then the physical things that come connected with that are going to come and go, whatever, and that's not going to be the issue. You're not, your happiness, your contentment isn't based upon the things
you... I'm a lottery ticket, even though...
I don't know if I agree with you 100%. I've never bought one.
Right, I've never bought one.
But I'd be careful to say that, you know, there's some principles that point out that that handling money and not handling it correctly can be a sin, yes. But I don't know why I go that far, Lauren. You're entitled to your understanding there, but. Pardon me? Yeah, because then we go to the lottery number of stocks. Yeah, it's like there's risky stocks to be in. There's risky investments. So again, I mean, you're, and maybe I'm wrong about that. I just can't go as far as you and say that buying a lottery.
Is New Testament?
Well, whether it's a form of gambling or not, I understand what you're saying. I don't know whether I can prove that gambling is a sin. I believe that a lot of people get caught up in the practice of gambling and do get into it. Ed's told us that a number of times. Yeah.
And idolatry is. Yep. And those things fall. So
yeah. Well, it's a sin for you.
It's a sin for me.
It is. It
I
is.
Can't control myself, but it is, you know,
and Lauren, I appreciate the point. Yeah. And we're all going to have differences on some of these things. I don't want to get stuck on this. I want to get on with what we're talking about, and we can discuss some more about gambling later and buying lottery tickets. And maybe I'm wrong, but and if you've got a good scriptural argument that proves that gambling is a sin, let me know, or anybody else. Florento. Exactly.
I mean that, of course, it's not.
A Christian. That's part of the evil that can get into all sorts of evil, even mother selling. It could be. People have. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but it's right. You know, I mean, I think of the mafia when I think of those kind of things, but the mafia is real. All sorts of things. And I believe what Lauren says about gambling, that is the problem with those who want to get rich. And so is that it leads them into all sorts of troubles. And there's just, I mean, we could spend hours talking about all the hardships that come with an attitude that's that is one that we are longing at to be rich. Now, there's a number of passages in the Bible. We're just going to look at a few where that people were rich and that riches actually come from God. So we'll look at those in a minute. But the thing, so being rich isn't the problem. It's what we think about the riches. Okay, you got it. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then come and catch me afterward, and I'll try to explain it better than I'm doing now. Andrew.
Are you going to talk about the rich fool?
Pardon me?
Is one of the rich people you're going to talk about the rich fool?
Yeah, I asked. So hold off on that one if you could. We'll look at him. Ed?
I'm just always amazed.
Okay, Mike, I want to move on real quick for a minute.
He says, but godliness with contentment. So if I'm sitting here content, that's
which is
that
too, because that has to do with things. And being content with what you've got, no matter what it is, that's where we go. I'm gonna push on just a little bit here, if I can. This last verse in this section, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And Dan commented about God's not going to leave you. You think you're not going to have what you need because you don't have anything right now? No. God's never going to leave you or forsake you. If you don't have anything right now and you're going through a difficult trial of not having enough money to get by, there's a reason God's got you there. I don't know what it is. But he's not forgotten you, right? He's going to let you go through that shadow, that path for a while. And then, I mean, you trust in him. Pray to him for deliverance from a difficult situation. God will be there for you. He'll send a lesson that we all need to learn, and that is that it doesn't matter what you have. It's not what gets you. What you have doesn't get you through. It doesn't. Doesn't make you happy. It doesn't get you through. It's God that should be making you happy and should be getting you through. Okay, so contentment. First thing, this is the secret. Be content with whatever you have. The next one. Just as important. Hard work. That's what the Bible preaches. Oh, I'm going to work hard so I can get rich. No. Just hard work. That is something that Americans have been taught to hate. Oh, it's all about convenient ways of getting money. It's all about having a soft job so I don't have to work too hard. It's all about having 3 days off so I can go and enjoy the rest of my week and the 4 days I have to work because I've got a short work week. You know, I hate those, but I like the day. No, hard work is something that is so important in order to have the right attitude about money. Hard work might make you rich, but you don't care. You don't care. It might. And actually, if you do get rich because of hard work, it's not because your hard work was totally responsible. It's because God gave you those riches.
Amen.
Because hard work by itself doesn't necessarily get you something, but hard work with the right spiritual attitude of contentment and some other things, being ready to give, is going to get you somewhere. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 through 12. Here's the first few verses. It says, now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor, we work night and day. Here's Paul. He's a preacher. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when he was necessary, he labored night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. So look at that example. Paul sets out, as he's imitating Christ in the Spirit, is that they work night and day. Now, he says some more about that in the next few verses. He says, it was not because we do not have the right, that is to take money from people to preach, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. We would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you are idle. The American dream. But God says it's no good. Now, I don't care if you're still working or whether you're retired. Idleness is not what we want to be about. I mean, if you're retired from working for an income, you need to be working for the Lord or working somehow. But idleness is, no, don't be idle. For we hear that some of you are walking idle, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and eat to their own bread. So, there's a few principles we're going to look at as far as this, but hard work is what God made us to do. It's part of how we have the right attitude about the money that we receive when we work hard. The laborer is worthy of his hire. We know all those principles. Yep, that comes in there. You get paid. You get an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. If you sit back and you're trying to scheme about some kind of get-rich-quick thing, work hard. I mean, work hard being a shoe salesman. Work hard being a carpenter. Work hard if you have to be an electrician. Work hard, whatever, being a bank manager or being an engineer or being an architect or being an IT specialist or being somebody who worked in a professional library or being, we could go through every single, but being a school teacher or principal. Work hard at it. If you have that attitude, God will bless you with success.
College degree.
Oh, yeah? You know, and that's right. There's nowhere here it says get a college education. But you know what? Getting a college education is hard work. You got a major in mathematics and a minor, I think it is, in computer science. Or maybe that's the other way around. That's my daughter-in-law. And you know what? She got those both at the same time. You tell me that wasn't through a lot of hard work. You know, she probably would have had two majors if Sam didn't come along and distract her a little bit. That's right. During the last, you know. Anyway, but necessary? No. But getting a college education for a career that's going to help you, or for work that's going to help you, that's going to also be hard work. And I understand the whole thing about dirty jobs, getting out there. But working in an office, if you're an office worker, that's hard work. You know, working away at things, or if you're in a ditch, or if you're hanging doors, that's really hard work. I know that's probably the hardest work there ever was in the whole history of this world. Oh, I just happened to be a door hanger. Okay.
And chances are you're going to live longer, too, so you can praise the Lord longer.
Yeah. Yeah, again, nothing. Right. I mean, of course, obviously, as you look to the kind of work you want to do, if it needs college degree, then you got to go get that. But not any better than the work you do with your hands. The thing is, whichever direction you pick, do it. Hard work, do it this way, and we're running out of time. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. That's the point. Don't buy into this American thing. You know, if I can get a job where I don't really have to work very hard. No, that's totally the wrong way. I mean, I don't care if you've got a super easy physical job. Do it. Work hard at it. Do it heartily. And even to the point, as for the Lord, and do it as for the Lord rather than for men. Pretend every time you're working at work, you're doing it because it's Jesus Christ as your boss. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. If you're a lazy worker, you're lazy toward Christ. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Got to tell it like it is. If you're a hard worker, you're being a dedicated worker, you're dedicated to Christ. It doesn't mean any difference. Well, if I work hard, I get paid more. No, that's not what it says. You might work twice as hard as the next guy, get paid the same. You're working for the Lord. And don't you think he sees done? 10:25. Okay, got some more to say next week. First two things, to understand the secret to being able to have the right attitude about money in our marriage and in our life, contentment, number one, hard work, number two. The third one, just as important, we'll look at it.